welcome to Stay Cool Forever,
the podcast where we analyze 90s classic films and decide if they stayed cool forever.
Do you really think most of these movies have been staying cool?
I think a lot of elements about them do stay cool. It's really interesting, you know, practicals. You can't just fix everything with computers, so you get some original techniques.
There's some real shit going on.
Yeah.
You said squibs.
Yeah, squibs, before. Like gunplay, yeah. Like stunt work, especially in this one.
Especially in this one, and a lot of fun scores. And this is something we were talking about at work a couple days ago, how, like, a lot of these 90s movies, probably some 80s movies, had a lot of score music that really played as a character in the films.
Yeah.
You know, helped build the story. Whereas now, you know, you get... you know, Hans Zimmer nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Or just a ton of pop songs that True. Don't really ground it thematically.
True. And then in Rush Hour, which is the one we did this week.
Yep, not doing Falling Down. We pulled a
big switcheroo on you.
Sorry about that. This one's more fun.
It was a lot more fun. Less problematic. I didn't want to have to address all those things.
Though not free from its problems.
True. Yo, actually, yeah. I kind of forgot how fucked up this movie was, but... this rounds out the L.A. movies.
Yeah.
I'm Zach.
I'm Wade.
And, you know, we were talking about L.A. movies, and I was showing you the bloopers of Rush Hour.
For this one, yeah.
Yeah, and you were like, I've never seen it. And I thought, what?
I've never seen any of them.
It's fucking crazy. Rush Hour is great. I had texted Brittany when I ordered it. I said, hey, you got 48 hours to watch Rush Hour on Amazon if you want to watch it. And she's like, I already own it.
That's great.
So Rush Hour, it just is a movie for myself and I guess my close group of friends and shit. We've all seen it.
I think it is kind of a classic. And, you know, just an old 90s comedy. It's close to certain people. If you grew up with it, that's one of your favorites. Like, you know, like an Adam Sandler movie would be for someone who grew up with those.
Yeah. Which I did as well.
Yeah.
I was, like, raised on Happy Gilmore.
Oh, same. All of those. Airheads.
Airheads. Billy Madison. Waterboys at the top of my, like, all-time favorite Adam Sandler movies.
I keep seeing it on an app, and I try to get Shannon to watch it, and I'm just... I never get...
Okay.
Never get
any enthusiasm.
Well,
maybe we'll have to do it.
We might.
And that way she can watch it.
I think that's the only way I could force her to.
I like Vicky Valancourt. If she showed me her boobies, and I like them too.
Needle dick.
God, man. Fuck.
So, up top, I think the reason that this movie is not available on any apps is possibly because it is just sort of peppered with consistent, like, Chinese racism. And that whole N-word scene with Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, maybe back then it was more fun. Maybe it was like a pre-9/11.
I forgot about that.
Oh,
the N-word Jackie Chan scene.
Yeah.
And it made me think, my initial thought was, whoa, yo, I don't remember this. And two, John Oliver and Vince McMahon's thing. And I thought, oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if those are around the same time.
I would guess the Vince McMahon thing is later.
Oh, okay. I'm
basing that off of when he started roiding.
Oh,
and like
fair.
Acting in the wrestling.
And that's what we call bro science, and I'm going to go ahead and go with that.
Yeah, that's at least 90% accurate.
But yeah, that scene was a little like, ooh, Jackie.
But
you don't mean... Yeah.
I'm sure he has an awareness of why that's inappropriate, but with all the shit Chris Tucker was dropping on him before they get to know each other and that tapers off.
It's not fair.
It seems like a fair trade. I was like, well, Chan's not really giving him a lot of shit for being like the smooth talking LA, you know, cop who's like really bad at his job.
Racist against Asians.
Yeah. I'm going to call it a fair trade and say it's uncomfortable and it's not is definitely problematic, but in the context of that, it was just a misunderstanding. Like these people weren't bad guys, but he was Chinese. He was so foreign to that word and its use that it got him into a really fun, pool hall, you know, kung
fight,
fu stunt
which
fight.
Is probably one of the better fights in the movie.
Yeah.
The movements with the fucking pool cue is just fucking dope.
Yes.
One last thing about that. I honest to God think that this racism in both ways that is kind of like hunky-dory, like, oops, is very Brett Ratner-y.
Like low-hanging fruit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that sense, too.
You know, and you're like, okay, you definitely seem like the kind of guy who would be doing this.
Yeah, like white dude who's like, this is funny, and it's like, well, it's not, it's not, it's not clever, it's, I guess it'll be funny to just, some people.
Yeah, yeah, it's just low-hanging fruit.
Not enduring.
Yes. That does not stand the test of time. No. Stand the test of time.
So yeah, Brett Ratner, as we all know, is somewhat disgraced. I forget what he did.
Brett Ratner...
Or is he just like a shitty director that ruined the X-Men franchise? And like...
No. He was shitty to women in some way. He's not as bad as Harvey Weinstein.
Mm-hmm.
But... He's still like a scumbag.
He's like Bryan Singer level of
something. Yeah. Okay. And you know, if there are any people who know exactly what it is, I'm not trying to be insensitive. I just don't know. I know he did something bad. I know you're not either. It's same. Just we know he did something bad, don't know exactly what it is.
Yeah. So there you have it.
Yeah. And I went into this movie knowing that he was a piece of shit, but
So, audiences like this way more. Rotten Tomato got 60% from critics, which I could see the fair argument for that. Fine. 78 for audience. Because this was clearly for, like, you know, teenagers? PG-13 comedy?
I guess. I mean, I watched this shit with my grandma. Yeah. You know, this is like a my grandma kind of movie.
And it's funny, it's silly, it's not too, like, this isn't some real world thing with any, like, heavy messages or stakes. It's just kind of like...
Mm-hmm.
You know, a classic buddy cop comedy, like, you gotta rescue the hostage and solve the mystery.
Yeah, so what's interesting about this movie is I got about damn near halfway, like, exactly halfway, and I thought, I think I'm at the halfway point. But I totally remember this movie having more going on. And I think that leads into your wife's thought that the second one was better.
Mm.
Because I was like... Oh, shit. I think we're kind of at the end of this, because I know where this goes, and it's just a really fast arc.
Yeah, like, once it gets going.
Not much happens.
And it is a little over an hour and a half, but...
just barely. It was like a tight 90, yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel too long. The second movie is in China? Is that correct?
Yeah, it's immediately following their plane ride at the end.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely going to... I know that's on an app, so I'm definitely going to check the second one.
Yeah, they for sure were, like, going to take a vacation, then shit hits the fan.
That's cool. That's fun.
Yeah.
It's like a nice trade-off, you know? Like.
Yeah. I mean, they're fun. I'm glad you watched it, because it is just fun. It's like, what was Tom Hanks and... Donald Glover? What's the Donald Glover cop movie?
Donald Glover? Are you thinking Danny Glover?
Danny Glover.
And Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson. There
you go. Lethal Weapon.
There it is. Gee. Whoops.
Close enough.
Well, I no longer watch Mel Gibson movies, but it's like a more updated, funner, more fun version.
Yeah.
Of that.
And it is a very classic story. Like, I don't work with anybody. I work alone. It's like, well, you're going to have to team up with someone who's, you know, odd couple.
Total
like.
Fish out of water. Yeah. Odd couple. So, on the topic of that, what the fuck? Why isn't this save? Anyway, well, I don't have it written down.
You've lost half your notes.
Yo, I had the note. It was under trivia here. So I'll just tell you. The entire first scene, when it opens, it is shot for shot, Enter the Dragon.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So do you think that was actually China that they were filming in?
Yes.
Okay.
At the beginning there, yeah. And so it's, I don't know why, but it is an homage to Enter the Dragon in some way.
I thought that opening scene was really cool, like, in a very simple, like, B-roll of a city, like, we're establishing it, but the theme, the music...
Okay, I'm glad you said that.
You know, because they start with some very, like, that whole, you know, da na 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 na, that's not, like, an old Chinese folk song. Mm-hmm. That's totally, like, an American Hollywood person's idea of what Eastern music sounds like.
Yeah.
So it comes up in all these movies, and we just sort of accept it now.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved how wild that opening song was, because they lean so heavily into that Eastern stuff and then synthesize it with like this
late 80s
garbage pop, like
New York
bluesy
crime,
like
guitar.
Yeah, it was all over the place, but I fucking loved it.
It was great. No, totally. Like the way they set the tone with that shit, I called it a buddy cop soundtrack for the opening.
Yeah.
You know, like
it got me pumped.
You know, and then there's some mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie Chan's chasing someone down. I would watch that movie.
That cold open was dope. It had like a Bond movie vibe to it.
Yes.
Like we're starting at the end of like the previous action, and that's gonna take us into and set up this.
Have you ever seen the Shinjuku incident?
Mm-mm.
It's a Jackie Chan movie. Probably about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit less. But Jackie Chan plays an older man who's retired from a way of life. And he's like running like a fish market, I believe.
Is it like Taken?
But his son gets in trouble with the Yakuza.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackie Chan ends up having to get involved. And he takes down the Yakuza gang and, like, basically frees all of the regular people who are under the control of it.
Mm-hmm.
As, like, an old guy. Like, okay. A happy... Like, he happenstances into kicking people's asses.
Okay.
It's super wholesome. It's
like a Rambo equalizer.
Yeah. All subtitles, too.
Oh, cool.
It's probably one of my favorite Jackie Chan movies. Just a little anecdote there.
Nice. Speaking of subtitles, I really appreciated that this movie just allowed for that for the first 10 minutes or so. Just subtitles. Yeah. I'm like, I don't think kids had better attention spans back then, but the directors didn't fucking care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm one of those snobs that would prefer people speak in the language that they act the best in.
Oh, me too.
And I'll just read.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was totally cool with that. Have you seen Prison Break? It's like a Schwarzenegger Stallone movie from maybe 10 years ago or something.
No.
I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but Schwarzenegger speaks German in it for a little bit.
Oh, word?
And like...
That's probably pretty cool.
The acting like gap, like, it was insane. Like, I don't think Arnold Schwarzenegger is a terrible actor.
Yeah.
But that scene, I was like, whoa, this is infinitely better than any other acting I've ever seen him do, because he's like speaking the language he speaks.
Wow.
And doesn't have to worry. It's wild.
No shit.
But I think that's why I'd rather like do the reading and have
a
person.
Oh yeah. I mean, I usually put subtitles on for most things.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Star Trek.
Yeah.
I don't really need that for the Star Trek. Mm. If by the time we get big enough, and the Star Trek folks listen to this, I really wish we would get Spanish subtitles.
For Star Trek?
So I could watch Star Trek and learn Spanish.
That would be awesome.
it's really up there with things that I would really, honest to God, enjoy.
I'm so surprised they don't have that.
It's just English.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Whatever.
El Warp Drive.
Yeah, I mean, dude, like, it's so stupid.
So many silly words.
Yeah, the techno babble is probably pretty hard. I love that Jackie Chan got the lead card.
Yeah.
Good for him. Tom Wilkinson really is an honest-to-God excellent actor, although I can't name a single thing he's been in.
Okay, I can.
Excellent.
Shitload of TV, obviously, but I recognized him as from Batman Begins. He was Carmine Falcone, I believe.
Yo,
the mobster dude.
Yeah.
Like, so intense in that role.
Yeah.
And great in this, apparently, you know, just one of the many esteemed British actors.
Mm-hmm.
There are only so many of them, but they're all, like, doing great work, and he's no exception.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, fun villain. I spoiled it for myself looking at the IMDb, where he was dual billed as Griffin
Juntao.
And Juntao. And yeah. I'm like, oh shit, that's his. He's the bad guy, oops. But it's not subtle.
Oh yeah, it doesn't matter. I really liked. That's what it is. So okay, I really liked how they tie this into the end of British parliamentary rule in Hong Kong.
Yes.
You know, and that's a nice historical take there, man.
I didn't quite get it. Like, help contextualize it for me and the listener.
So, I forget the exact years, but, you know, Hong Kong was a British territory. During an imperialist sort of, in the same way India was.
Okay.
But they held on to it for much longer.
Mm-hmm.
And then at a certain point in the mid-90s, they gave it back to China. And that's how this movie starts out. Which then creates that power vacuum.
Okay.
Yeah, which is why they had to send, instead of sending a British consul to America for Hong Kong, you know, you're just going to send, you're now going to send a Chinese one. And that's where you get Han.
Okay. Would this clue into how Jun Tao acquired all of the artifacts and stuff? Because he was...
He was whatever
diplomat
the
name, in Hong Kong. Like,
exactly.
Okay.
And so that's kind of a really fun... I don't know. I just like it. When you get a crapshoot movie that, you know, does a good job historically, it's pretty fucking dope.
No, that's actually really cool. Like, to know that they...
Yeah.
You know, some, like, relevant, timely...
Yeah, and event. You're like, okay, so that's... actually pretty cool. So now you're kind of invested because there's a reason. Mm-hmm. You know,
that is fun.
It's a realistic take,
especially if you're just gonna do the let's smash an LA cop with a Chinese investigator, like,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
Well, we've contextualized it with something very practical, like,
yeah,
and they did enough homework to get you there.
That's world building. Mm-hmm. You know, or yeah, scene setting, you know. And yeah, it's like, okay, this is my suspension of disbelief is there.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice, and you're kind of, it on a first viewing, but you did blow it for yourself. But like, you're kind of like, okay, you're not just gonna show these guys, and he definitely looked peeved in the beginning.
Oh yeah, that actor also too. Like, I only knew him as the villain from Batman, so naturally, okay, I'm like, it might as well have been Ray Fiennes. Like,
yeah,
I got my eye on you.
Yeah,
you're usually a bad guy, or that dude who plays Moriarty in the Sherlock reboot. He was the bad guy in...
You know, okay, so I haven't seen the Sherlock reboot, but, and I hate to do this,
Did you watch the latest Bond movie, Spectre?
I actually have not seen the latest one.
You and Phil gotta watch that.
I know, it's on Phil and I's list to go watch it.
You know what I mean, those weaselly people that only play bad guys, and if they show up in a movie, you're like, oh, he's definitely gonna end up being the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's the vibe I got from Jun Tao, so I didn't feel like I ruined it.
Okay, that's good. That's good. The guy who plays Clive, I don't know what else that guy's been in. Chris, he's the one he was buying the C4 from?
Yeah, in the beginning.
That guy sucks.
Just the character? Or
no, just the guy.
Actor?
The actor.
Oh.
I don't like anything that guy's been in.
All right, he's been in True Romance, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Nope.
Not a fan.
Not a fan of that guy. Schlubby.
Well, sure, but there's like roles for that kind of person.
I feel like he should have been in Spawn.
Okay, I think I know what you mean when you're saying that.
I just don't like the guy.
Okay,
I don't know what it is.
You know who I did like that was in this? Gonna blow the pronunciation on it, but Ken Leung? Leung?
The
blonde
hair?
The blonde dude who was
great.
He was the bad guy. He was in Lost, X3, also by Brett Ratner. The Force Awakens? He was in Sopranos, like...
I mean, he's great, for sure. Mm. I've always thought that guy was chilling from the first time I saw this movie.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I had ever seen him.
And I wonder, too, because I only know him as, like, someone who doesn't have an accent. Like, with the roles I've seen him in, he's, like, a very Americanized person.
Oh,
so I wonder if this dude, like, lived, you know, was raised in L.A. and had to put on, like, the Chinese accent for this role.
Wow. Is that patronizing?
I mean, sure.
It's gotta be, right?
Sure. Wasn't that the whole, like, Master of None
idea? Where I was gonna go,
that, like,
yeah,
they want you to play ethnically,
the Indian guy.
Which,
yeah,
you know, we're evolving out of that a little bit.
I think so.
I think this was a cool role regardless. Like,
he's a badass, dude.
If you get to be, like, gangster from the old country, then...
That's pretty cool.
I wouldn't, like, be pissed if they were, like, do an accent.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go to the Great Car Explosion.
Oh, man.
Yeah. When
that was
shooting
so
the car
cool.
In the street.
I was like, is he going to do it? Is he going to blow it up? And I don't think the movie was concerned with what the meaning or plotting or consequences of it would be. I'm like, he's jumping. He's going to blow up the car. And then, like, the little musical number when he starts dancing.
That was MJ.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's an MJ cut, which is why he's doing the moves.
Nice.
Yeah. This movie had its moments. Mariah Carey's Fantasy is in it.
Yep, the daughter singing it in the backseat.
Yeah.
Dude, they fucking... That dude shot the guys
right in front of her.
Right
in front of her.
Like,
she fought.
We didn't see it, but damn.
Yeah, ice cold.
Yeah.
Ice fucking cold. Again, that guy. ice cold.
Yep.
Yeah. But that song, Fantasy, is probably Mariah Carey's best song. Mm-hmm. And that is such a 90s gem.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had to ask, you know, who is this? But I know mm-hmm. the song, like the sample track that's on it. It's
yeah.
so, yeah.
So good.
So that's like a good LA song to have.
Yeah.
And on like the whole dancing after the explosion thing, like it didn't work for me every time. You're right. This movie had its moments, but I definitely yeah. caught a pattern with Chris Tucker of like going to the, just like some kind of dancing. Like this is fun. It's awkward.
Well, they really lean into that one move mm-hmm. with the head with side
the,
to side.
The war, like, can the beach? Can you do that to the Beach Boys?
And it gets a little too much.
Yeah, there's a. Well, I think it's patronizing on both ends, though.
I agree.
Because while Chris Tucker has to be the torchbearer for, you know, urban culture and, you know, style, music, Americanisms, mm-hmm. Jackie Chan has to have lines like, hey, these artifacts are important to my cultural heritage. Like, they don't quite feel real. Sorry, Stella's pouring fucking whiskey. We're in the middle of recording here, Stell.
It's Game of Thrones day.
Oh, hell, you wanna at least pop in and say hi to everybody?
Oh, hey, it's Stell here. Oh. Right.
Usually she breathes or grunts. That time it was just pause on the microphone, but...
You're welcome.
That's Stella.
Good job, yeah, Stell.
Enjoy your booze, you fucking drunk.
So...
So, again, just going to the whole, like, you know, Brett Ratner, low-hanging fruit. It's not the most dense, like, character development or comedy, but mm-hmm. I think I at least feel like it was equally patronizing to both of them.
It still comes off as well-meaning.
Yeah.
It wasn't hateful.
Yes. It was all just based on, like, ignorance, and I think both people had their moments of humility to sort of... You know, not smooth it out. I'm not saying it's okay, but
yeah, I agree.
Like you said, it didn't feel like it was coming from a bad place. It's just a lazy place.
At the end, you know, Tucker says shishani to the mm-hmm. stewardess.
Yeah.
So he shows some growth as a character. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, okay. And, you know, and then then Jackie arguably has a much better war rendition.
Oh, it was all gold. That's honestly
all heat.
All heat. When you played that for me, you're like, you've never seen Rush Hour, and then I just saw the Jackie Chan singing war scene.
Huh. Huh. Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah.
Y'all.
No, it's y'all.
Like, all right, let's watch this instead.
Because it's just fun. It's just a fun fucking movie, man.
And that's just fun too. It's like good. I don't know.
As you said when we were watching that shit, Jackie's got great timing.
Yes.
It's brilliant actor.
And a lovely voice, I think.
Yeah.
Not for that song and that style, but you can tell.
No, yeah. I was legitimately hurt, Wade, when he was named in the Panama Papers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't think he meant ill will, though. I imagine he just was trying to keep money from China.
Yeah. Which, I don't know if you, like, read articles about the actress that... It's something about, like, when Chinese actors work not in China, that they might declare having earned less on an acting project.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't want to pay all the Chinese taxes. But the government apparently, like, cracks down on that shit hard. Like, house arrest for months. Like, none of this money worship. You pay your fucking taxes.
So I don't blame him for offshore and some of that shit.
Well, he's done so much work outside of China. Like, I guess... I don't know how tax law works there, but that's a bummer.
Me either.
But I'm also not at all surprised, because
if
I were going to pick the most renowned Chinese actor, he's probably, you know, he's the guy.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
He's going to build the Silk Road single-handedly off Jackie Chan's taxes.
He's, like, really cool with his kids.
Yeah.
You know, just all around such a good dude, man. I fucking love Jackie Chan. I'll watch anything that dude. I was raised on, like, Drunken Master and shit.
Oh, yeah. Shanghai Noon.
Shanghai Noon, yeah. He was in some snow, you know, sort of kung fu style movie. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it's called. I was thinking about it all day today.
There's a ton. Like, I only caught the ones that came out when I was a young, impressionable preteen. And, you know, that's what I could see in theaters. Mm-hmm. And like, it never stopped, though. Just because I outgrew it doesn't mean he wasn't doing, like, 2-3 movies a year.
No, he's always doing shit, yeah. I mean, Shanghai Noon was good. That ends up... It ends up the same way as Rush Hour. Like, Rush Hour 3, I don't think anyone needed. And Shanghai 3, whatever that one is.
They had three of those?
Pretty sure there's three.
Damn.
First two were good.
All right.
You know, Owen Wilson's all right.
That's how it goes. Yeah, wow.
Wow. Oh,
so, that's wild.
Wow.
I can't do it.
It's pretty good. Okay, at the very end, the cops show up. We get the bad guy. Money's flowing everywhere. Okay, go ahead.
No, sorry.
They're arresting everybody. No one said anything about the helicopter guy.
Helicopter guy.
Our bad guy was going to escape with a helicopter, and he was in contact with him pretty regularly as he was climbing up.
Okay. He was doing a Joker from...
There was no resolving the helicopter guy. That's it.
It was not 100% realistic, I'll give you that.
Okay. Thanks.
I do enjoy
it. What were you going to say?
I love a good it's raining money right before the bad guy blows it.
Like,
I don't know if that's a 90s thing, but it's always classic. It's very symbolic, you know? Like, the greed is that was your downfall. And all this money doesn't mean nothing because one of you is about to die. It happens a lot.
One of you is about to die.
I also didn't understand Juntao's plan while we're on the money.
Okay.
Like, he lost the art, and then somehow the climax winds up. You know, it's like, oh, look, we got the art. He's sort of co-hosting this event to reintroduce the artifacts. But his plan was to kidnap the diplomat's daughter to ransom her for $50 million. Was he going to buy the art back?
No, I think he just wanted payment for the art.
Okay. That makes more sense if... That's, you know, like, stolen goods.
Because he, he was like, you know, I had been collecting this collection for God knows how long, and then you guys stole it from me, and now I'm going to collect my payment for it.
All right.
So he must have valued his collection at $50 million.
That makes sense. Yeah, I was just a little, like, he seemed to really be hung up on losing the art, and I thought it was because he liked the art. He's like, oh, this, you know, they used to be in the hands of a single private buyer. But then the whole, like, scene where Jackie's trying to keep them from destroying the art during the climactic shootout, and I'm like, okay, so it must not be about the art. And the way you put it is fine. He just wants compensation.
Yeah, he just wants to be compensated for the... Which is a really hollow plan. A reason.
Yeah.
You know, for all of this.
But it fits the bill, you know. It's enough to motivate your good guys. Like,
super isolated, very hollow, but does motivate our dudes.
We kidnapped a kid. That's all you need. He's bad. They're good.
I mean, how about Jackie with the fucking wherewithal to grab the necklace off the chick?
Oh, yeah.
It's a good dude, man. I'm telling you. Jackie Chan's a good dude.
My favorite thing about his movies in general is the prop and set work, where they really treat it like an obstacle course. And I think he has like a handler or like a stunt guy. Like, they're a team, you know.
Oh, really?
Like a magician and the guy who helps him make his tricks.
Okay.
So I have a feeling that they probably choreograph a lot of this stuff. And just, what are we working with? Like, what do we got in the room? Like,
we got a chair.
And it's like, sometimes it's like, okay, they're just playing with what they have, like the chair and the rug and the upstairs of the Chinese restaurant.
I mean, the hand-to-hand where they're holding hands and fighting each other, spinning around.
But that's great. Like, it's always so fun.
It is. It just is.
Especially, like, with the outtakes, where you can see that, like, oh, he's really doing it, and he had to do it maybe a dozen times to get it right, but, man, it's all there on the screen.
Dude, picking up guns on the ground, putting it in his hand, like, fighting people with fucking steering wheels.
Just the scene at the end where Chris Tucker was saving the girl from the van, and he, you know, how they were listening to War, and I guess he taught him how to disarm guns and, like, do some light kung fu work.
Yeah.
Like... Chris Tucker's whole demeanor after he gets the gun from that guy, like, he just has crazy eyes, like he didn't think he could do it, yeah. Or like maybe he did five
His
takes.
Eyes went huge.
Yeah, like he got that take right, and just like, I don't know. It was really fun. Yeah. I don't know what it was, but that's one of my favorite moments.
It came off just real and candid.
Yeah, like he was very high off of how successful he was and let it ride.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to say something cool and kick this fucking guy.
Yep. Yep. I don't know if you noticed, but that girl gets kidnapped, like, right outside our building.
I was going to ask about some of the L.A. stuff.
That totally was our building.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Nice. And I've been trying to place that fucking,
Are you talking about the motorcycle kidnapping, where they, like...
When they first steal the girl, yeah.
And then the van, okay.
The convention center that they're, like, in, I don't know where that is. I was trying to place that the whole time. Because the old convention center is, like, doesn't look like that at all. Mm. So, I don't know.
Maybe a set. Maybe somewhere else.
Yeah. Did you have other?
The 6th and Broadway, where the bomb went off on the top floor. They were, like, going after, they had traced the call from Sang, and then
we've been, like, right there.
Yeah, I know that, I kind of, like, know that neighborhood now, but this was 98, so I don't know how the city was doing, if that neighborhood was still condemned or if they hadn't started like rebuilding or gentrifying.
It wasn't condemned, but it's like those Rosslyn Lofts, that area.
Okay.
It was south of the, just south of the jewelry district.
Okay.
Which, you remember that, you know, the Mediterranean place?
Yeah.
Like a little bit further down from there. Like, I think that's like between 6th and 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go south from there, you'll hit Broadway. And then like, that's like the... Which is in line with those Rosslyn Lofts and those shitty apartment buildings.
I guess my suspicion was, did they actually just blow a bunch of pyrotechnics on the, like, 12th floor of that building because no one gave a shit about that part of town, or, like, because it was affordable to do? It looked like they really
did. It looked real as shit, yeah.
Yeah.
It probably was.
I think a lot of the shit was, I mean, again, that's the thing with 90s movies, the
you had to blow that shit up.
Explosions, like, it makes them more special.
It feels realer.
It's like a monster truck rally. Like, I am watching real things get destroyed. And that to me means the commitment and love. Like, you know, the filmmakers are really selling me the magic.
Yeah.
By blowing up the 12th floor of this building.
That's accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun. I think they went to, like, Hollywood and Vine when they're on the tour bus and Chan, like, jumps up on the sign.
On the Hollywood sign.
I didn't recognize. It looks like L.A. to me. I know what L.A. looks like. Downtown, you know, neighborhoods.
Yeah.
But I could not recognize it. I recognize the Capitol Records building.
Sure, yeah.
And that was it.
Hollywood looks like Hollywood. Mm-hmm. It's less glamorous, you know, as you know.
Yeah.
I
love that he took him to the man's Chinese theater. It was like, it was just such uninformed racism. Like, cute.
You could tell he didn't mean anything, like, negative. He's like, you might like this.
Yeah, but, like, what the fuck does he think? That, like, China's just a bunch of temples and that place. I mean, I've never seen a movie there, but...
Oh, I have.
It's, like, mostly lingerie and novelty shops and souvenir shops and a bunch of dudes dressed like Superman and Batman, like, getting...
Yeah.
Photograph money. It's not.
It's a decent theater.
I'm sure.
They only have restrooms on the bottom floor, though.
Ah.
So you got to go down if you're watching one on the upstairs.
That's
kind of its biggest problem there. But I mean, it's affordable, but every time you go in, they're like, do you want to buy a tour? And I'm like, no. No, I don't. I'm from here.
Right.
Last thing I need is for you to walk me around the fucking grounds.
Didn't that happen once where that was the only theater playing a movie you wanted to see? So you're like, oh, I guess I gotta go to the Chinese theater.
Yeah, that was mid-90s. The Jonah Hill movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I was forced to fucking go there because it was the last day it was going to be in theaters. Fuck. Fucking horrible. I would much rather go to the Arclight.
Same. I like the Arclight.
Me too. I'm going tomorrow.
It's fucking expensive. What are you seeing?
That Star Trek documentary, What We Left Behind.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
the Deep Space Nine one.
And you... Are you missing class for that?
Yeah.
And your teacher's cool with it?
Yeah, I told her, like, right out the gates. I'm like, yo.
Awesome.
I gotta miss class for this. I'm not going to give you a lie. I'm going to go see a Star Trek documentary that I bought tickets to a long time ago. It's one night only, man.
Yeah. I'm excited for you.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It sounds like really special, I think.
And I finished Deep Space Nine. That was the whole goal, was to try and finish it before this. And I finished it last weekend. So I've had a little time to reflect and read things.
So what's next?
I'm in the middle of Voyager.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Actually, there was an episode last night. They get super into it, man. Super into it. Like, some really heady science fiction shit. So the Doctor's a hologram, right?
Mm-hmm.
In this one. And then the Doctor... is the ship gets it, he gets activated as the emergency hologram, and he's like, what's going on? He's like, check for life signs. There's no life signs on the ship. And he's like, so they just left me. I'm gonna die here on this ship, wherever it is, because I'm just a program. It doesn't matter. No one said goodbye. And then someone finds their way to the middle of the ship, and they get to the Doctor. They get to the Doctor, and he's like, oh my god, they're life signs. And they're running through the stuff, and they said, you gotta get upstairs, save the captain. He gets upstairs, he saves the captain, because they put holographic projectors on the bridge, so they can transfer him upstairs. He saves the captain, and then he meets a character from the Next Generation. And he's like, I've never seen you before. What's going on here? And then they get attacked, and the Doctor feels pain, and he starts bleeding. And he's not supposed to, because he's a program. He's not supposed to feel pain. And he's like, holy shit, am I real? And he starts scanning everyone, and no one's registering any life signs but him. And the guy that shows up is saying, what the fuck are you talking about? You're not a fucking hologram. You are the Doctor. Like, this is your name. You're running a test here. And he tells him he's got to blow up the ship in order to get to the bottom of this test that he's in. You know, he can't leave the test unless he blows up the ship or sees it out. And seeing it out would be all of Voyager's show in your head, right? And so then he kind of gets taken back in time to prove to him that it's all a hologram. You know, this is all fake. You have to fix this. It's just an experiment. And then it gets even deeper because the other characters who are on the ship right now, they're like, don't fucking listen to him. Don't blow up the ship, because if you blow up the ship here, you will die, because you're actually in the holotech, and that's why all of these holograms are appearing. And since you're a hologram, you're feedback looping into your story here, so you're creating this alternate universe within the holodeck because you're a hologram.
That fucking holodeck.
Dude.
How many episodes do people not know they're in dreams or in holodeck?
Oh my god!
Or the holograms become real or think they're real. Like,
dude, it was crazy. The whole time it had me guessing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know what's going on. I was like, dude, you're probably just in the computer. It's fine. You know, this is probably just a dream in the computer.
It's like go-to Star Trek explanations.
Yeah, like it's just some nonsense. But then it kept getting deeper and deeper, and they kept throwing in other levels to it. And then, of course, when he thought he got out, he was still in it. It was a trick. You know? So it was... They're really going places in Voyager.
Nice.
Because they have the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Nothing like some high sci-fi to round out my Saturday night.
Do you have a favorite part of Rush Hour?
Yeah. My favorite part of Rush Hour... 100% is Jackie Chan singing War.
Okay. That's hard to compete with.
Yeah. You?
I liked it when Sang said the name of the movie before shooting those two dudes in front of the daughter. He's like, like, what's the holdup? It's Rush Hour.
Yep.
And when Chris Tucker put that dude's joint in his suit pocket.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even... Okay. Quick cover of fashion. It's just Chris Tucker. Giant leather jackets, giant suits, nice profile, little dated. And when he went to visit his cousin's gang in the basement,
that was a great suit too.
They all, it was not subtle that the theme of their gang was red.
Yeah. It was not subtle.
So that's all I got. It's okay. Just some like some bold suits, basically, and jackets. You know, profile clothes, which are kind of coming back.
Okay, yeah. No, they are. His glasses are totally back. Oh, Chris Tucker's. Yeah. Everyone's wearing those now.
Yeah. Just that first scene when he's buying the C4, where it's like, leather jacket, leather pants, like, yep. Big medallion necklace, sunglasses, at night. Like, yeah. All right, we're L.A.
Okay, we get it.
We're cool.
I see you, Chris Tucker. Did you have some quotes?
I think I have a few. Oh, really quick.
Oh, go ahead.
Did you catch the Seinfeld theme music?
No.
It was when they were passing Capitol Records going to the Chinese theater.
Oh, word?
Just like when he was driving around. I don't know. If it wasn't straight out of Seinfeld, but it was that slap bass kind of.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought that was funny. Any more new quote time?
Sure. My favorite quote is going to be the first one. And it's said in Chinese, and I didn't write the Chinese because I don't want to be an asshole. But will you practice your kicks and eye gouges?
I don't know nothing for $45.
It's a disgrace to me and to the department. Hold on, I'm sending someone over right now.
I'm not responsible for your assumption.
What am I supposed to do? Take him to the zoo?
I'm no punk bitch.
Yep. Show your ass.
That was from the outtakes, right? I know. At the end. I love that. Say, show your ass. My daddy saved 5 crackheads from a burning building all by himself.
One little pinky get blown off and everybody tripping.
How you doing? Y'all got any eel? How's your camel hump?
That ain't far enough. I ain't Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Which one of y'all kicked me?
You don't know nothing about war.
This is some nice shit. That Buddha would go nice in my bathroom.
Right. That's all I got.
Did you already do the shove it up your ass? No. All up in your ass? I'm LAPD.
Oh, yep, yep.
Turns down the FBI job. Yeah, that's all I got for quotes.
Oh, fuck, I gotta think of a band.
Yeah,
What do I want? What do you got for me?
I was gonna go with Cisco. I basically only know the Thong Song, and I'm like, that was fun. That was a 90s thing that was fun, and I am mad at it, even if I...
I'm mad at it?
I can't stand by it today. Sure. I'm not gonna... go back to it, but there's nothing wrong with it.
To that exact end, I'm gonna give this a Lou Pega.
Ooh,
a little Mama Number 5.
Yeah, a little
absolutely
bit of...
Cotton Time.
Yes,
you know,
that's perfect.
But you know, sometimes it's nice to listen. You know, you gotta get a little Monica in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love the Mama Number 5.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, I think yours was
stuck.
Was good.
Stuck in Time. It ain't bad, but it's silly, and
I don't need.
You know,
it.
I'm not gonna argue against someone if they tell me it's not great.
Fine. Yeah, you can have that.
But I enjoyed it, so let me have that.
I had a good time.
I didn't come up with an alternate title for this one.
Okay, well let's do one on the spot here.
All right.
I'm
so good with these.
So I'm gonna call it Jackie and Chris Get Chinese Food. And it doesn't go well.
So fucking stupid. You're just...
You're... A.K.A. Fu Chow.
Oh, man. Yeah, Fu Chow. I'm sorry. I don't mean
to
be insensitive.
You're good. Not insensitive
It's not bad on the spot.
More exposition than...
Oh, fuck. Fuck. I mean, Rush Hour is not bad, but traffic plays such a small part in the movie. Like,
you call it Taken.
Taken.
Taken, the prequel.
Rush Hour Part 1. I'm phoning this one in.
Nice.
That's it.
Nice.
I'm done. We did it. L.A. movies.
L.A. movies are finally in the
nice.
Bag.
Nice. Who knows what we're even going to go on to. I kind of personally want to just, like, pull ringers on each other.
What's
like,
that mean?
Like, you do a movie that I've never heard of or seen before that means something to you, and make me watch it.
Okay.
And then I trade off on that.
Okay.
Because I'm sure there's a couple, like, with the age gap, there's definitely shit that...
Well, I'm pretty sure The Godfather 2 was in the 90s.
Okay.
I hope to God it is.
That'd be
I had had
one.
This thought recently.
But I enjoyed the first one, and
yeah.
I don't want to say you made me watch
the
it.
The second
but,
one's going to be better.
But we watched it. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
I hear the second one is better.
Do you have a quick thought on what...
Oh, what I would make you watch?
Yeah.
Event Horizon.
Oh, I can't.
I just can't stop wanting people to watch the stupid the dated sci-fi shit that I grew up
with. That's right up my alley. I'm sure it's great.
Yeah. It's like Star Trek.
Yo, I like Star Trek.
It's basically Star Trek.
I'm super into Star Trek.
All right.
Did you know?
I mean, I'm looking at a Federation of Planets flag that you have next to a lighting setup in front of your computer.
Don't tell everybody, man. I think
you... Oh, come on.
No, I don't care. All right. Well, you know, this has been Stay Cool Forever. As you know, you can email us at staycoolforever@gmail.com.
That's staycoolforever@gmail.com.
And you can catch us on all major podcasting platforms. You know, send us an email. Give us a like. Rate us 5.0 to that one singular, sweet, beautiful person out there that gave us a 5.0. Thank you.